Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our Heavenly Father and let's praise Him. Father, we praise You and worship You and thank You for this beautiful, magnificent, glorious day that You have made. We praise You for the beauty of every day. We praise You and worship You and joyfully, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things that You've given us. Lord, we just worship You. Now, Father, as Your word goes out today, I ask You to reveal to Your people the truths of why we have so many problems in the church. And it's because of curses. Lord, I ask You to reveal these mighty curses to men and women so that they will understand what causes their problems and they'll repent from their wicked ways and come and serve You the way You tell us to in Your word. And I praise You and bless You for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this week I'm talking about some of the basic rules or the laws that govern curses. Now then, yesterday we said that where sin remains, the curse remains. Until you confess the sin, the curse remains. Now then we give you some examples of that, and we said that demons have inroads into you where sin remains. A curse can only end when the sin behind it is confessed and forsaken and God's forgiveness obtained. Now, that's the only way that these laws or these rules can be broken is when you confess the sin and get right with God. Now then another law, this is the fifth one in the series here that we're going through. You might call this basic law number 5. The power of a curse is demonic. Now, I want you to think about what I just said there. The power of a curse is demonic. Now, I want you to know who pronounces the curse. And God is the one that pronounces a curse. And Satan and his demons are the instruments that carry it out. To express it another way, when a curse is imposed, God lifts His restraining hand and the devil is permitted to work. Now, I want you to think about that. We don't believe these things, that is the way the system works. But this is the way it works. When you get into God's Word and begin to study this book, you will begin to understand that every time you break God's rules, you open a door through these curses for Satan to come in to kill, steal, and to destroy. No curse comes up on you undeserved. So it is very important that you walk holy before God. Now then, you must walk holy before God. Now then, again, let's return to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. Now, we're going to find that the enmity that God put between the serpent and man through His curse upon them both. Let's see. He, the seed of the woman, will crush his head, and you, the serpent, will strike his heel. Now, thus it was man's sin that gave power to the serpent, or the devil, to strike man's heel. Now, when our wonderful Lord Jesus took our sins upon Himself, the serpent was able to strike the seed of woman, but Jesus crushed his head. The cross and resurrection of Jesus provided for us deliverance from the curse. Praise the King. Because we have been redeemed from the curse. But we got to know it, and we got to be able to claim it. Now, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we read about Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Now, Cain became jealous and angry because God accepted Abel's blood sacrifice and rejected his own fruit sacrifice. Now, God saw Cain's jealous anger and warned him what could happen. Now, I want you to see here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, what it says. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art you angry? And why is your countenance falling? In other words, or your face has fallen down, downcast. If thou doest well, or what is right, what shalt thou not be accepted? Now listen to what he's saying. If you do well, or what is right, shalt you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and thee shall be his desire. In other words, it desires to have you, or Satan desires to have you, and you shall rule over him. You must master it. In other words, sin personified was crouching at Cain's door. It was like a very ferocious lion waiting for an opportunity to spring in through the sin door of his life. Unless he repented and obeyed God, an evil spirit would get an end, just like a dog or a cat waiting to come into the house. All you need to do is just barely open the door, and in they come. Now, this is a picture of Cain's situation and ours. Sin personified, a devil's emissary, waits for an opening to leap in with a curse. All he needs is for the sin door to be opened. This is why we are told what to do in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to hear, starting with verse 26 and 27, what the Word of God says. The Lord says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Look at what he says in verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth." Now, if you are stealing something, you need to stop it and repent, because that will come upon you, I guarantee. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." This is verse 29. Now, we really need to heed these things. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." And verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Then we are told what to do to keep sin away in verse 32. This is telling us what will, these are all sins, and he's telling us what they will do. Then he says, we are told what to do to keep sin away. Verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." That's pretty clear, isn't it? In other words, in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." In other words, it's amazing how many times when you read in this book and the Lord tells us exactly what to do and exactly what not to do, and it seems like we just don't hear his voice. Now then, after the Lord has told us exactly what to do, but how to be followers of God as dear children and walk in love and all the things he told us to do, then in verse 3, he tells us what not to do. Now, he is very clear in this book in telling us what does not give legal right to the devil and what gives legal right to the devil. But in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "But fornication," now that's sexual sins outside of wedlock, but fornications and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Now, we really, really need to be careful what we say with our mouth, because I want you to hear what he says in the next verse, verse 4. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, if you really take this verse to heart, neither filthiness, in other words, you're not supposed to be telling dirty jokes, nor foolish talking, in other words, we say so many crazy things, and jesting, talking amongst each other in jest, he said, let that not once be named among us as saints. So it looks like we've got some things we need to clean up in our lives, most of us, in fact, all of us, I'm sure, but we need to really concentrate on what we say, because the Lord says in verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now then, what if you have a person that says they're a Christian, but they're living in all these sins? What are their chances of going to heaven? Well, the Lord says here, these people that are whoremongers, in other words, what if you got people in the church that are living in sexual immorality with a person out of wedlock? What if they die in that sin, even though they're washed in the blood? If they're living in that sin, they die in sin. The sin has not been confessed, they have not repented, and they die in that sin. What does the Word of God say? He clearly says there in verse 5, for that this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I'm going to tell you, when the church begins to believe this book, she will straighten her act up. She will start living holy before God, because you don't want to take a chance on missing heaven. Now, I'm telling you, hell is a bad, bad, bad place. And I'm telling you, heaven is a good, 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 wonderful place, and you don't want to miss it. I certainly wouldn't want to be living in sin and die and take a chance on missing it, because I personally don't think you will be there, even if you tell me you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're living, you say, under grace. I think you have misunderstood this, but I certainly would not want to take a chance of living in an adulterous or a covetous lifestyle or any of these idolatrous things and die in them. Even though I said I was a born-again Christian, I'd hate to think about having to take a chance on going to heaven. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.